Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And, you know, as a mom, I can attest that there is no more primal instinct for me than to protect my children. I love them so much, and I pray every day that the Lord keeps them safe. And yet, you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, ultimately I have to put my trust in God for their protection.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Luann, many parents listening right at this moment have had to face a time when they couldn't prevent their children from experiencing pain, or maybe even death. I just can't even imagine what that's like. But today we're going to hear from Scott and Janet Willis, a couple who have faced this agony and found that the Lord was still faithful.
And it's a painful account, Ryan, but it's our prayer that their story will bring hope to those who have faced the grief of losing a child. Some time ago, your dad sat down with this couple. They've been married for 44 years now and have had 9 children together. Scott was a special education teacher in Chicago for 22 years and a pastor for 17 years.
Here now on this Family Talk broadcast is my dad, Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Scott and Janet Willis.
Let's plunge right into the story then and go back to November the 8th, 1994, and tell us what happened. We're driving down the freeway with 6 of your children. In fact, first, you have 2 waves of children. You have 3 older kids who had grown up. Is that right?
We call them our A team, and then our B team were 6 younger ones. And there was a 10-year gap between Dan, our third, and Benjamin, our fourth. We were on our way up to Wisconsin to visit Dan. It was next day was to be his 23rd birthday, and Hank, our 6-year-old, was going to be 7 that next Sunday. So we're going up for a double birthday party up in Watertown, Wisconsin, where Dan lived with his wife. And on our way up there, we had gotten early. It was election day. Our church was a polling place, so we had opened it up. The kids had paper routes once a week, and I got to tell you, they had come back, and Janet told me about them coming in, giving each other high fives, because they worked in pairs. The oldest with the youngest and the middle 2, one would pull a wagon and the other would throw the papers. And so that was a great morning.
The baby at that time was 6 months old?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. 6 weeks old.
Yeah. And so they had, it was a great morning. And we got in the car and left, and I think it was around 10 o'clock. You know, I really don't even remember exactly what the time was. But we were just south of Milwaukee. The 4 middle children were sleeping in the back, and Janet was sleeping in the front, and Benny was reading, and Peter probably was sleeping because we didn't hear him at all. And everything was very clear. I was very wide awake. I wasn't talking to anybody. I remember, you know, very distinctly all that happened in front of me. It was a little yellow car in front, and it swerved in front of me, and there was something in the road. There was a flatbed truck in front of him up the way, and I thought something had fallen off the truck, but it wasn't from that truck, actually. But anyway, and in just a matter of a couple of seconds, I didn't have time to turn to my left to see if there was a car there, so I felt I had to go straight, and then I thought of turning at the last minute and thought I remember thinking if my front tire hits that piece, it might turn our van, because we were going about 50 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour. And so I was also thinking that I had to stay a little bit to the middle or the left, because a catalytic converter seemed to hang down low, and I thought it might hit that. But I really didn't think the piece would hit the car. And the next thing I knew, there was a sound, and we were sideways on the highway. And I crouched down and grabbed the wheel and just thought of trying to take the car out of the skid. I didn't realize just at that first second. Then all of a sudden, all around me were flames coming over my head and around the side. And I began to yell out, "Get out of the van, get out of the van."
And had you stopped it by then?
No, not by then. It was still breaking. And finally, I was able to get it to the side. And I remember reaching for the door latch and realized I was buckled in. And I looked down to unlatch the seatbelt, and there were flames coming between the 2 front seats of the minivan. And I remember the thought going through my mind, "Scott, if you don't put your hand down there, you're going to die." And I just remember putting my hands down there, unbuckling the seatbelt.
Into the flame.
Into the flames, and then falling out of the, and then reaching for the door latch and falling out. Then there was, and Janet, you might want to share a little bit of your story.
Well, for me, I was sleeping, and I woke up hearing nothing. We never heard a sound from the kids, but I don't even remember hearing a thud or anything, but all I remember is waking up, and my husband was yelling, "Get out of the van, get out of the van." And I looked out the windshield and I saw a light post. I thought we were about to hit a light post. And just by him saying, get out of the van, and the tone of voice he said it, your body starts to react just without thinking. So mentally, what we're describing took split seconds, but it's mentally you're just not really registering at all. So I reached into the flames, and I remember fumbling with it and went back into the flames, got the seatbelt open. And I must have been aware of fire because I remember kind of ducking as I just sort of tumbled out, and the street seemed to be moving as I hit it, so I don't think the car was completely at a halt, but almost.
Now, these flames just came instantly. Obviously, the gas tank was ruptured by this piece
of
metal,
was it? Yeah, that was a bracket off the back of a semi-truck that hit the gas tank. It exploded, and it left a hole in the back seat where the four, Joe, Sam, Hank, and Elizabeth were. So the fire was in on them, the explosion immediately. Benny had gotten out, and we didn't know that at first. He had unbuckled his seatbelt and had been able to go around through the two seats and got out the door that Janet had opened up. Somebody began to beat on the windows of the van just after I exited the van, and I went up there to beat on the windows, thinking to rescue the kids, although in my own heart, I knew it was hopeless. Yeah. People have asked us, how long did it take for you to understand what had happened? And they said, did it take days or weeks and that? And really, it took about 10, 15 seconds when I was outside looking at the van because it was on fire. And
you realized your children were still
that,
in
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And we thought Benny was in actually at the time, too. But I remember my hands were burned, so I couldn't hit on the thing, but I used my elbows and kicked it, and I knew it was to no avail. It was just a reaction.
Was the inside of the van completely?
It was all smoke.
Completely inferno.
And I thank God that we really never saw the inside of the van. We never heard anything from the children. But I heard Janet behind me going, no, 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 crying out hysterically. And I remember going to her and putting my hands on her shoulder and saying, Janet, they're with the Lord. It was quick. And then I said something that tumbled out that I didn't think beforehand. I said, Janet, God has prepared us for this.
When they pulled me, somebody, whoever was helping me and hitting the flames out, pulled me away. And as he pulled me away, I looked back at the van, and that's when I realized it was just an inferno. And so I fell on my knees, and it was like I was begging God to stop it. And immediately, you just know that there's nothing anybody could do. And all I could do was say no. And when he said it was quick and they're with the Lord, at that point, God must have known what words to give him that I needed to hear, because I realized at that moment my kids were being ushered into the gates of glory, and I was yelling no, and it helped me to stop saying no, because how can I deny my children about what they're going to see? I must have still been, I don't know if I still kept saying something, but then he said, Janet, God's prepared us for this, and at that point, Scott says the words, it just kind of tumbled out. He didn't really think ahead of what he was saying. But I realized when he said that God was in control and this isn't an accident.
Did you yet know that Ben had gotten out?
No, at that point we didn't
Where
know.
Was he?
Well, when I tumbled out and I hit the street, I heard somebody say, stop, drop, and roll. And I tried to fall to the side. And whoever was helping me said, no, no, you're okay. Well, we pieced it together and found out later Benny had climbed out my door and was all aflame, and I didn't see that. I thank God that the Lord didn't let me see that, because he saved me from a lot of visual memories that would have been tough. And he fell to the ground, put the flames out, and people helped him. And then somebody came running up to us and said, one of your kids got out, and we came running up to see Benny.
How old was he?
Benny was 13.
Yeah.
And then came over the top. But he was very coherent, and didn't seem to be in a great deal of pain. And we've been told that third-degree burns can burn the nerve, so, maybe he didn't feel the pain that much. But he did say some things.
When we came running up, and again, words tumbled out. You don't think about what you're going to say. But I said, Benny, Mom and Dad are right here, and Jesus is right here too. And he was very calm. He said, I know, Mom. And then he said, how are the others? And Scott and I just kind of looked, and there were a lot of people around, and somebody quickly answered, they're okay. And I know the thought came to both of our minds, they are okay. Mm. And then he said, Dad, tell me a joke. And you got to know our family. We had a lot of humor, thanks to my husband. Mm. And Benny memorized tons of jokes, and he was able to bring them up, and his recall was amazing. And I wish I had taught him more memory verses, but he had we had a real lot of humor in our family.
Benny really loved knights, and he loved airplanes, and he was really he knew a lot on airplanes. He knew all about the Wright brothers, kind of an authority on them, but he had never flown, and he and Joe had talked about being missionary pilots someday, and Benny flew. They brought in a helicopter. And Flight for Life in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And they flew Benny to Frederick Hospital from there.
And you lost him a day later?
That evening.
He lost consciousness in the helicopter.
And never regained it?
And never regained it, yeah. So I never saw him after that. Scott went and saw him in the hospital, but he was unconscious. So again, I didn't see him at his worst.
That was probably the hardest thing through all the days of the accident. And going up to see Benny and the doctor telling us that he wasn't going to make it. And just seeing my son alive and knowing it wasn't going to make it was hard at that time.
Were you all patients in the hospital as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were in the hospital for 9-10 days. Yeah. And Both of us. Janet's hands were burned much more severely than mine. My face was all burned, but it was first and second degree burns. There's, I think, somebody might be able to notice a little bit on the side and the ears and that. Yeah. But they were just so gracious, the nurses and the doctors, Dr. Youssef, Dr. Larson up there, who were just tremendous with us and all the nurses.
How in the world do you cope with a situation like that? You're going down the freeway. You've got 6 kids with you. And you're just a happy family telling jokes. And a moment or two later, all 6 of them are in heaven. How? I cannot imagine how you.
Let me share what happened at that grassy area. Janet, when the ambulances came, Janet went to another ambulance, and I said to her, Psalm 34, the message, what to do in times of sorrow. And the first part of that psalm was to praise God. Praise God publicly, praise God vocally, and praise God constantly. And, you know, by God's grace, we determined that we were going to praise God. There and Janet went to the ambulance. Tell him. Yeah.
When he shouted, Janet, Psalm 34, I remember in my heart, just a split second, it kind of sank like, oh, no. And then yet I knew I had to do that. And so I started saying it out loud. And I guess I felt like I was almost shouting it. And I said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. And I got to say that I didn't feel like saying that. It was more out of obedience. And it was so utterly awesome to incredible to even think about that I absolutely had to go to Lord. I remember after I said that, then I quoted some verses from Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. It was like scripture was the only, God was, well, Psalm 73 is God's favorite, one of his favorite psalms, and it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And I
so
said, God, there's no.
Instead of being angry at God or disillusioned with your faith, you leaned on him more.
Dr. Dobson, I don't think there's ever been a second that we felt angry at God because I remember, well, all our hopes, all our dreams, we hadn't perfectly done this, but in a sense, they were the Lord's. We knew we would see those children again. And I don't know how much, I guess, when I think back, all that we did at that moment, but we couldn't be angry at God because he was the one who had given us all the future and the sure hope of seeing our children again.
You know, I've tried to write about this in When God Doesn't Make Sense. I haven't been through what you've been through, but I've certainly witnessed those kinds of events and tried to be encouragement to people who are going through hard times. And I find that people vary tremendously in their ability to reach out and take hold of their faith in moments like that. We're talking to people right now on the radio who are angry at God because they're out of work. They're angry at God because their house is inadequate. They're angry at God for every little thing and some big things. But you all did not entertain anger and disillusionment having instantly lost 6 kids. You still wept for weeks, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we wept plenty, and
this
we're
morning,
not afraid to
this
weep
morning.
This morning.
And, this morning.
But I got to say that the one thing we haven't really delved into yet, and when Scott said God has prepared us for this, that I have gone through things where I was angry and discouraged mm-hmm. about little things in my life. In my Christian walk in 21 years, we had learned lessons through smaller trials. And I often share about when David met Goliath, Saul said to him, "You're just a boy. You can't go to meet this warrior." And David said, "Well, once a lion and a bear came." And it was those earlier trials that helped David to know prepare. Where his, he said, the battle is the Lord's. And that was so ingrained in me through earlier trials. And I realized you got to go to the Lord right away, right away.
Well, you know, that's an extremely important biblical concept, as I know you know. We do grow through trials, and the Lord uses those tough times to get us ready for whatever is coming to us. What was the first night in the hospital like, knowing that all your children were gone?
Well, this is one that really sticks in my mind very vividly, and that was the first few hours after the accident. I remember just being overcome. And I'm being real frank here. It was almost a, I don't know if it's a selfish sort of feeling, but I felt like all that I had done and prayed for and worked for was a waste. We had prayed, I had asked God to help me to train those children up, that they would serve Him and live for Him and do His will, whatever that would be. But I sure didn't picture this. You know, you picture that they go out in some field somewhere and do something for the Lord. Yeah. But it was like all those years were just a waste. And God very quickly corrected my thinking again by bringing a verse to my mind. I didn't have to struggle. He just popped it in my mind. And it was, "Your labor's not in vain in the Lord." And it was like the Lord telling me, "Janet, you did what I wanted you to do. You just didn't know my timetable. I really couldn't tell you." And I really realized quickly after that 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 was the very first Bible verse I had ever memorized when we first started going to church.
So His presence was with you in that hospital room.
Right.
Janet, you were homeschooling your children, weren't you?
Right.
All of them?
Well, I had the whole B team from, they had never been in a school. Right, all the younger six. I just really learned a lot through that, but I thank God for the time that I had. I look back and I think now I might have had more time with my children than a lot of parents who raise them all the way to adulthood.
Scott, what can you tell us about those kids?
Well, I wanted to say that they were just regular kids. They had they weren't robots. They weren't street smart either. They weren't sophisticated kids. They were well-read. They loved history and that. We had a lot of fun times. We play OK Corral or Knights or do all sorts of crazy things. But, you know, there was something very special. And Janet really is the one who said it to me. And she had the kids around her all the time. And it was important that they were well-disciplined because with that many kids, it just had to be. And really, both of us could say we not only loved our kids, but we liked them. They were fun to be around. And what we miss more than probably anything is their fellowship, just their fellowship.
You know, the loss of my father changed my entire view of death and of life after death, just knowing that somebody I loved a great deal was over there.
Amen.
Has this done that for you?
Absolutely.
You got six kids that are going to be standing there waiting for you when you cross over.
You know, 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about having the victory in the Lord. We're more than conquerors and through Christ. And all of a sudden, I mean, I've preached on that. All of a sudden, I realized that, you know, we have the victory. Heaven's real.
Scott, you have given your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're talking to a million people right now. Tell them from your heart what you want them to hear and how to deal with the difficulties in their life.
Dr. Dobson, if I could talk to the person listening who maybe is wondering about just how one can have that assurance of knowing that God's there and that God cares about him and what to do in times of crisis, because we're all going to face it. Mm-hmm. To you who are listening, the most important thing is that you would have a relationship, not just knowing about God, but that you would know God personally, to realize that the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But God loves us so much that He provided a means whereby we could have our sins forgiven. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His own Son from heaven. Jesus took on flesh, went to the cross, shed His blood. And Jesus' blood was shed on my behalf and on your behalf. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that means just cry out and say, "God, I know that Jesus died for me. And believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved." It's because of the heart belief and the confession made unto God that God saves us, not for what we've done, not for
you our, can't earn it,
faith.
Can you?
It's
There's
not,
nothing you can do to earn
nothing
it.
Nothing we can do. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. God's grace is given to us absolutely free. It wouldn't be grace if it was given to us if we had to do something.
How in the world do people make it through a crisis like this when they don't have a faith to lean on?
I think that, I've thought about that, and I think what happens is that people have to have a mechanism, something that they can run to or create when it happens, when crisis comes, adversity comes. There's a verse in 2 Peter, and we were reading this together. Jan and I were reading this together soon after the accident. But the verse was chapter 1, verse 16, and Peter writes, "We haven't declared unto you myths, but we're eyewitnesses of the glory and the majesty of the Lord Jesus." And that's a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. But it was the idea that we could trust the Bible. We knew it was true. We didn't have to make something up. We knew that God's word would be true not only for this life, but would be for all eternity. And, you know, people wrote to us and said things like, "Well, your children are flowers in God's garden," and things like that. And they all meant well, and we took it that way. But the truth of the matter is, we knew that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord, and they were, you know,
they're safe.
They were safe, but they were human, if I can use that word. Yeah. They weren't flowers in God's garden.
I saw shortly after the accident. I mean, from a mom's viewpoint, maybe, I don't know. There were a lot of times where the unexpected would hit me and give me a wave of tears. But I remember seeing a little boy running down a sidewalk and look about Ben or Joey's age, and you know, the old lump came, and I just let the tears flow. It's okay to miss the kids. But I real quickly thought, gee, you know, Benny's running down streets of gold, you know. And so always the Lord was continually reminding me that heaven's a real place. And I'll tell you, every verse in the Bible in heaven was just jumping off the page at me.
Jesus said on one occasion, "Faith such as this I have not seen in Jerusalem." And I say that to you all. I have not seen the uncommon faith that you all have shown through this situation very often. And I commend you for it. And I know that the Lord has gotten you through this. Who can say why you've had to go through this? There's no explanation for that. You can think about that for the rest of your lives. You know, I had an experience very similar to yours. I had been a guest on the old Dinah Shore Show. You remember that television program? We were driving home at 11 o'clock at night, and I was driving down the freeway with Shirley. And a big piece of metal dropped off a truck in front of me, a flatbed truck, and bounced up and hit our gas tank and tore an 8-inch gash in it. And all of the gasoline began flowing out. And friends were behind us, and they waved us over, and we managed to get off the freeway into a gasoline station. And there was no fire. Mm-hmm. Now, why did we not go through what you went through? Yeah. There's no way to explain that. Right. I mean, you just, there's no sense in trying to figure it out, because you'll find out on the other side, and you'll never know on this side.
The you whys just, will drive us crazy if we...
Yes, yeah. the whys will drive you crazy. So you just give them to the Lord, and you go on believing. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously what you've tried to do, right?
Amen.
The thing is, the world wants to say that's denial, but you know, that's the truth. That's reality.
That's right.
And I thank God for that.
Well, I want to thank you all for sharing your story with our listeners and for letting the Lord use you in this way. God's blessings to you all, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
What a heart-wrenching story we've heard today on Family Talk, and yet one that is not without hope. You know, Ryan, I pray that I will never have to walk the kind of journey that Scott and Janet Willis have. But my hope is that if I do have to, I will do so with the faith and eye towards eternity that they sure have.
Well, we have heard from Janet and Scott recently, and their faith is just as strong as ever. Mm-hmm. They're retired now, living in Tennessee, and enjoying their 32, count it, Luann, 32 grandchildren.
Oh, man, the Lord has certainly redeemed their loss, hasn't he? Janet has also written a couple of books, which we'll link to from drjamesdobson.org. One is a children's book called A Dad's Delight, which is about God's character. And the other is entitled What on Earth is Heaven Like?
Again, find information about both of those at drjamesdobson.org. Also there, you can view a video from my dad entitled Finding Strength for Adversity. adversity. It's very helpful if you're going through a tough season in life.
And while you're at drjamesdobson.org, look for our new 3-CD set titled Families in Crisis. I would especially encourage those of you who know someone whose family is going through a difficult time to get this CD set and pass it along to them as a form of help and encouragement.
And if you'd prefer to call us for that CD set or just to talk and pray with someone, especially if you're going through a period of grief right now, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Thanks to the Willis family and to you for spending this time with us today. And if you're working for a marriage that'll go the distance, you don't want to miss our next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That's next time right here.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.